Chapter 4, Christian Help Work.
Ministering to those in need. There is a work to be done by our churches that few have any idea of. I was an hungered, Christ says, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. We shall have to give of our means to support laborers in the harvest field, and we shall rejoice in the sheaves gathered in. But while this is right, there is a work as yet untouched that must be done. The mission of Christ was to heal the sick, encourage the hopeless, bind up the brokenhearted. This work of restoration is to be carried on among the needy, suffering ones of humanity. God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand. Relieve some of God's afflicted ones. Some are sick, and hope has departed. Bring back the sunlight to them. There are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for these and bring them to Jesus Christ. And in all your work, Christ will be present to make impressions upon human hearts. This is the kind of medical missionary work to be done. Bring the sunshine of the Sun of Righteousness into the room of the sick and suffering. Teach the inmates of the poor homes how to cook. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd with temporal and spiritual food. Manuscript 105, 1898. Carrying the Gospel to the Poor. The poverty of the people to whom we are sent is not to prevent us from working for them. Christ came to this earth to walk and work among the poor and suffering. They received the greatest share of his attention, and today, in the person of his children, he visits the poor and needy, relieving woe and alleviating suffering. Take away suffering and need, and we should have no way of understanding the mercy and love of God, no way of knowing the compassionate, sympathetic Heavenly Father. Never does the gospel put on an aspect of greater loveliness than when it is brought to the most needy and destitute regions. Then it is that its light shines forth with the clearest radiance and the greatest power. Truth from the Word of God enters the hovel of the peasant. Rays from the Sun of Righteousness light up the rude cottage of the poor, bringing gladness to the sick and suffering. Angels of God are there, and the simple faith shown makes the crust of bread and the cup of water a banquet. The sin-pardoning Savior welcomes the poor and ignorant, and gives them to eat of the bread that comes down from heaven. They drink of the water of life. Those who have been loathed and abandoned are through faith and pardon raised to the dignity of sons and daughters of God. Lifted above the world, they sit in heavenly places in Christ. They may have no earthly treasure, but they have found the pearl of great price. Testimonies, Volume 7, pages 226 and 227. Helping the Helpless. The work of gathering in the needy, the oppressed, the suffering, the destitute, is the very work which every church that believes the truth for this time should long since have been doing. We are to show the tender sympathy of the Samaritan, feeding the hungry, bringing the poor that are cast out to our homes, gathering from God everyday grace and strength that will enable us to reach to the very depths of human misery and help those who cannot possibly help themselves. In doing this work, we have a favorable opportunity to set forth Christ, the Crucified One. Every church member should feel it his special duty to labor for those living in his neighborhood. Study how you can best help those who take no interest in religious things. As you visit your friends and neighbors, show an interest in their spiritual as well as in their temporal welfare. Present Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior. Invite your neighbors to your home and read with them from the precious Bible and from books that explain its truths. This, united with simple songs and fervent prayers, will touch their hearts. Let church members educate themselves to do this work. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 276. A witness to the power of Christianity. Christ has placed upon His church a sacred charge, the fulfilling of which calls for self-denial at every step. When those who believe in Him are seen lifting the cross and bearing it after Him in the path of self-denial, willingly doing all in their power to bring blessing to those for whom Christ died, witness will be born to the power of Christianity. And in the hearts of many now unbelievers will spring up faith in Him who gave His life to save a guilty world from eternal ruin. Letter 43, 1903. Need of greater faith. As believers in Christ, we need greater faith. We need to be more fervent in prayer. Many wonder why their prayers are so lifeless, their faith so feeble and wavering, their Christian experience so dark and uncertain. Have we not fasted, they say, and walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? In the 85th chapter of Isaiah, Christ has shown how this condition of things may be changed. He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself in thine own flesh?" Verses 6 and 7. This is the recipe that Christ has prescribed for the faint-hearted, doubting, trembling soul. Let the sorrowful ones who walk mournfully before the Lord arise and help someone who needs help. Every church is in need of the controlling power of the Holy Spirit, and now is the time to pray for it. But in all God's work for man, He plans that man shall cooperate with Him. To this end, the Lord calls upon the church to have a higher piety, a more just sense of duty, a clearer realization of their obligations to their Creator. He calls upon them to be a pure, sanctified, working people. And the Christian help work is one means of bringing this about, for the Holy Spirit communicates with all who are doing God's service. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 266 and 267. Keeping Our Souls Alive. There is a great variety of work, adapted to different minds and varied capabilities. In the day of God, not one will be excused for being shut up to his own selfish interests. And it is by working for others that you will keep your own souls alive. Do you shrink from this work because there is a cross connected with it? Remember that self must be denied if you would win Christ. Earnest, unselfish effort will garner sheaves for Jesus. The humble worker who obediently responds to the call of God may be sure of receiving divine assistance. The Lord is a mighty helper. If the workers will rely wholly upon Him, He will accomplish a great work through them. Historical Sketches, page 182. Use your humble talent. Begin to do missionary work with the conveniences which you have at hand. You will find that thus the way will open for you to hold Bible readings. The Heavenly Father will place you in connection with those who need to know how to treat their sick ones. Put into practice what you know regarding the treatment of disease. Thus, suffering will be relieved, and you will have opportunity to break the bread of life to starving souls. It is the duty of Christians to convince the world that the religion of Christ disrobes the soul of the garments of heaviness and mourning and clothes it with joy and gladness. Those who receive Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior are clothed with His garments of light. He takes away their sin and imparts to them His righteousness. Their joy is full. Who have better right than Christians to sing songs of rejoicing? Have they not the expectation of being members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King? Is not the gospel good tidings of great joy? When the promises of God are freely and fully accepted, heaven's brightness is brought into the life. An expression of gratitude. He who is truly converted will be so filled with the love of God that he will long to impart to others the joy that he himself possesses. The Lord desires his church to hold forth to the world the beauty of holiness. She is to demonstrate the power of Christian religion. Heaven is to be reflected in the character of the Christian. The song of gratitude and praise is to be heard by those in darkness for the good tidings of the gospel, for its promises and assurances. We are to express our gratitude by seeking to do others good. The doing of medical missionary work brings rays of heavenly brightness to wearied, perplexed, suffering souls. It is as a fountain opened for the way-worn, thirsty traveler. At every work of mercy, every work of love, angels of God are present. Those who live nearest to heaven will reflect the brightness of the Sun of Righteousness. This comes from Manuscript 55, 1901. The duty and delight of all service is to uplift Christ before the people. This is the end of all true labor. Let Christ appear. Let self be hidden behind him. This is self-sacrifice that is of worth. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 147. All around us are doors open for service. We should become acquainted with our neighbors and seek to draw them to Christ. As we do this, he will approve and cooperate with us. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 171.